thing.
How long have we been trying to watch Sunshine?
Yes.
Oh.
What?
Guys, I think it's working.
VHS. I know that look. VHS doesn't count, Ryan.
Then hold on a sec.
Okay.
No, it's definitely working. We got it.
Nice. Finally.
Hello and welcome to It's from under a rock. From under a rock. Bringing people out from under the rock.
We're under the rock. No, I was trying to
take it nice and slow, and you were like spazzing
but
out.
But then
you should see James in the bedroom,
on.
Though.
Is he, his rhythm is out. His rhythm's
because
a little
he
off.
Tries to take it slow, and the girl's like, no, not having this. I want to get it over with.
The girl's just like,
she snaps. Every girl James has been with is
she's
a
snapper. Like, come on, man, pick up the fucking pace. Yeah. And I'm just like, all right. And then it's over in 2 minutes. She takes a cab home,
she's
and
like,
I hang
perfect.
My head in sorrow.
That was perfect.
Yeah.
All right, bye.
Good wordplay, James.
Also, thanks. I'm pregnant. You don't know already.
After 2 minutes.
She was pregnant to start.
She just wanted to frame you.
I would like to welcome back all beloved listeners to From Under a Rock. Thank you for hanging in there with us while we had a little bit of difficulty. We've
2 months worth of technical difficulties.
It's not even technical. It's personal difficulties.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I hate you all, but I guess I'm back.
Like in basketball, you have your technical fouls and then your personal fouls. This is more of a series of personal fouls.
I'm surprised I'm not thrown out of the game, but thank you guys for letting me play.
Just one, we're drawing the line in the sand, all right?
You've already given the other team bonus, and you're on the verge of being thrown out. So you're very close, but you're hanging in there, you know? Yeah. Just as long as you don't say anything... You know, you don't say anything too offensive.
I thought you were just going to leave it at anything.
Like the...
As long as I don't say anything.
The PD word. You know, just leave that one out of this.
What's that, plane drifter?
Oh my...
Public display.
What?
Of plane drifting.
Of plane drifting.
Oh my God, guys. Come on.
Sorry. I know that's a touchy subject. Should we start this episode over?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to...
Oh, sorry.
Let's not... Sound like some ignorant plane drifters.
Here at From Under a Rock, we are continuing to bring people up from under the proverbial rock by introducing them to movies that they have not yet seen. But first, it's been a while, guys. How have you all been? James.
Oh, I thought you were asking the audience.
Yeah, audience. we'll wait. Oh, yeah?
That's a great story.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry to hear that she passed.
Guys, you just totally interrupted her. She was in the middle of the story.
Wait. What's this podcast?
From Under a Rock.
What do we do?
We introduce ourselves and listeners to movies that they might not have seen by now that they should have.
I could have sworn this is the show where everything's made up and the points don't matter.
Close.
You see, I can see why you're confused by that, because at the end we do have a challenge.
Challenge.
We're not there.
Challenge yet. Where
we
do,
people are going to be confused when they're skipping around our track.
Throughout the show, we will give award points for good observations or making each other laugh.
For being a good Samaritan.
For being a good Samaritan. You know, for loving your neighbor as yourself. All that
jazz.
All that
bull jazz. All that bull jazz.
Jazz hickey.
That's the saying. All that bull jazz.
No one gets hickeys listening to jazz.
I remember that because of the musical Chicago and all that bull jazz and all that bull jazz.
Man, I haven't seen that movie in a while. Apparently, so I do not remember that.
The challenge comes at the end of the episode whenever we award the greatest amount of points for completing said challenge, and then the winner gets to pick the movie for next week that hopefully
I would like to say. They are some great points. They are the greatest points that we get, the ones in the challenge.
Yeah, we're making some good points, both literally and figuratively here on the show.
I would argue that the challenges make no sense and where no good points are made. But
and the points don't matter.
No, not at all.
Well, we did kind of just say that they matter.
Except that you win the privilege of choosing the next movie. Michael,
I do?
Michael, I honestly think that you are not only twins, that you have like 20 identical brothers
with different facial hair patterns.
You just send them all through one at a time through the podcast.
And they all need to be caught up again.
And they're all
by the time we get through one full rotation of Michael Ornelas's twins, we will have gone like an entire year or something, right? Or like half of a year.
80 weeks.
80 weeks.
All right, guys. So I lost this last round.
Won.
But I lost the last cycle, meaning I went last, meaning that all three of you are open for picking.
Technically, so you're up for renewal as well.
You all, not.
I mean, I don't think it quite works,
Ryan,
though.
I guess. Ryan, I give you 20 points.
Wow, okay. Well, we'll see you guys next week. What's your pick going to be?
I'll accept your bid to give me 20 points and give them to myself. Thank you, Michael. It's for all of those segues that you guys never award me for. So.
That was a good point. I'm going to give you 2 more points.
All right, Michael, -2.
Michael,
James,
you're pandering.
James, how have you been?
I have been well. I'm trying to think about all the things that have happened in these last few weeks, months.
See, our schedules have kind of been...
They've been all over
the
place.
A little bit tough to work with.
Yeah.
Off kilter.
That's one way to put
it. I might have mentioned a new job at some point that's where I've been working nights now. It's made things a little tough as well.
So. I was working at that job that I had been working at for a while, and then I ended up, it was a contract gig, so I'm no longer working there, and now I've got an internship, so it's pretty much like the same hours. So my schedule has remained somewhat static, but the variables have changed.
Constants and variables.
Exactly.
What is that from?
Science?
Correct.
Some other movie that talks about constants and variables.
Science the movie.
There's always a man, a lighthouse, and a city.
Bioshock Infinite.
There you go.
Anyways, aside from that, not too much else is going on. Just kind of trying to enjoy myself while I can.
Endure?
You know, endure.
Trying to enjoy yourself? Myself.
Enjoy, you know that song, you know?
No.
Enjoy yourself with me.
Yeah. I think it's saying
that's actually what the message of that song was.
It's popular with kids.
Either literally nothing has happened to me these last few months, or there's so much that has happened that I just can't recall one instance.
Or maybe you're also 20 twins.
Michael, this is going to be our secret.
What is it? They're not twins. What do you call them?
Twin
couplets?
Decuplets.
Dodecuplets.
Dodecuplets.
Yeah, I think that's right. So Steuben developed a stutter. That's all he did.
Tell us
about
that.
He was kicked in the face by a mule.
How is that, Steven? You've been doing great at that.
He also is just very nervous.
And he's a great storyteller now.
Come on, Steven, out with it.
For real? Okay, I guess. What has Steven been up to other than stuttering?
That's what I was asking.
There we go. Let's sum everything up. I'm a stupid idiot. This stupid idiot met Amy Jo Johnson, the Pink Ranger. Woo! And then after that, right before that, I injured my hand. I can't grab things. Woo! And then after that, but recorded before that, I was the Red Sour Ranger. Woo! So two Power Rangers related thing and a hand injury that's also sort of a Power Rangers related thing.
Okay. Wait, is that it?
Wait, so your life is pretty much the same.
I met the Pink Ranger.
Yeah, but it's still revolving around Power Rangers.
Yeah, no. Yeah, okay. It's just progress in that same direction.
Gotcha.
Okay.
I don't know what the progress is going towards. Nothing.
Well, I don't want to spoil the ending for you, so I won't.
Steven, I know you and I went to a board game convention.
Strategicon. As they say in Antarctica.
Or Russia.
I thought that was Icelandic.
It's cold.
Strategicon.
Strategicon. And that's where I got my stuttering problem.
Because it's so cold in Iceland.
Yeah, went to a Strategicon, played some board games. It was fun. We played the longest games of werewolves ever. I won a tournament for a game that I was playing for my first time ever, severely pissing off one of the veterans who was playing to my left. I beat her, and she was like, "How did no? Yeah, you didn't. No one told him."
Can you all do me a favor? Can you just attest that Werewolves is in fact a very fun game?
Eh. We played it on this very podcast, Michael.
I know. I just may trying to be proving a point to someone else who is listening in.
Oh, okay. Are you with or without?
I won my first game of Werewolves first plays.
See, I played a game at Strategicon, and while I love playing with my friends, playing with a group of random strangers who voted me out in the first round because I was nervous.
Well, you look guilty.
I guess I did, and the guy next to me, whose name was also Ryan. Oh, we should have introduced ourselves, by the way. I'm Ryan.
I'm Steven.
Wait, what? McDoodles. They call me McDoodles.
We're starting over again.
I'm Michael.
We're really bad at this.
The guy next to me is also named Ryan. Noticed that I had a nervous twitch to my leg.
Did he point that out?
He pointed out to the entire group. And, you know, because he didn't know me at all. It's hard for me to be idle. You know, I'm always moving my feet or my hands or whatever. But
you see,
he used that against me.
What I did, and this is surprisingly, I won this game. I got first place, yet people were against me the whole time. This guy in the first round, you know, everybody wakes up from the werewolf attack and he just goes, "I'm the witch." And I'm the witch. And I'm like, yeah. I always suspect people who just outright on the first round start and he accused someone.
See, they were playing where you could just say who you were to the group, and that's not how I enjoy playing, because I was the hunter, and I could have told everybody that I was the hunter. And after I got out, the guy who actually ran the whole convention, he was like, "Hey, you should have told everyone you were the hunter." I'm like, that's not really how you play the game, as far as I know.
I like being more in the dark.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. Werewolves.
Sweet.
Michael, what have you been up to?
Oh, you know, nothing new going on in my life for the last couple months.
Really? You've just been kind of bored and lonely?
Well, different chick every night.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Just.
I hear you.
I heart bitches.
The huge.
Yeah.
He actually has a shirt that says "I heart bitches." Well, just heart bitches.
I don't know. But yeah, just so many women. Just, I've been blinded by women.
That sounds painful.
Well, because I got syphilis.
Oh, okay.
Syphilis has some severe side effects.
Is it because you went into the women observation room and turned up the filter a little too much?
Yeah. And now I'm blinded by women.
No, to 3.1%, which is all it takes to blind you.
Yeah.
Did you put sunglasses on?
No.
Smart.
That was your problem right there.
Well, they don't call it flashing for no reason.
There's your problem.
For those who don't get the reference, what are you doing listening to this? You should have watched Sunshine by now.
Yeah,
we had
the,
like
what
two
the
months.
Hell did we watch this week anyway?
We watched Sunshine, James,
and we just
we just we just went outside and looked at the sun,
and now we're going to review
for
it.
Like 2 hours. We are all blind.
We are all only, blind. Only Michael.
I would just like
syphilis,
to clarify
yeah.
that we're all blind, but only Michael has syphilis.
Well, only Michael's syphilis caused the blindness.
I'm going to give today's Sunshine an A++. Thereby bumping the unattainable Kung Pao rating to the A++. So.
Kung Pao under the fist?
Yes.
Yes.
Nice.
It's going to be an A++ whenever we do actually.
Unanimously?
Huh?
Who hasn't seen it?
Michael hasn't
seen it?
Oh, you know, we're bringing that up. You can't just raise your...
You can't wear a shirt that says Heart Bitches on it and not have seen that movie.
This is my life and I'm doing
it.
Yeah,
that's a reference from the movie, right?
Oh, I believe so. It's not.
Yeah, so,
yeah, I didn't think so
I brought Sunshine to the table, to the rock.
I've got Sunshine.
And none of you
sunshine.
Heart bitches had seen it before.
That's true.
Why is that? So first of all, let me explain. This is a
that's
that
a,
conversation
that's a good question. went somewhere.
What the hell?
Question, what is wrong with you guys?
Syphilis.
We've established that. And blindness.
Yeah.
Blindness.
My hand.
Sexual blindness.
My hand.
So this is a 2007 Danny Boyle directed film. This was post 28 Days Later, but pre Slumdog, I believe.
I want to say you're right.
Sure. For which he was awarded the Slumdog Millionaire was awarded Best Picture the year it came out. 28 Days Later did not win Academy Awards, but it is widely regarded as one of the best cult horror films.
One
of
the best
zombie
movies, I'd say.
Yeah, that too. That as well.
It's my
personal
favorite.
As far as Danny Boyle goes, my heart
will go on.
Belongs to Sunshine as one of the best modern sci-fi movies, in my humble opinion.
That's a good point. I agree.
Why is that, Steven?
Steven, yes. What were your thoughts on this first viewing?
Well, it's a great sci-fi movie at first, and then it dips into horror, and it does it pretty well. It's a little one-sided on the sci-fi part. Let me rephrase that. The horror isn't as much of the movie as I would have liked. Looking back after watching the movie, I kind of wish they had introduced the other captain a little sooner.
I agree.
Just so I could...
They kind of did. They had
That's true. They had a recording, but...
They had several video transmissions of him as they were getting closer to the ship. Yeah.
And maybe this is a strength of the movie. I just saw it. I need more time to think about it. But I just pretty much figured he was dead. And I was like, okay, well, there was a crazy guy on the ship. He killed the whole crew. I had no idea he'd be alive, but it was a good reveal when they said, and of course this is a spoiler podcast, when they revealed he was alive, it was a great reveal by the computer saying, no, there's a fifth life form on board.
Fifth crew member, unknown identity, It's kind of a moment that gives me chills for sure.
Yeah, I made a point to remember. I was like, I literally just leaned forward in my chair when they were like, there's a fifth human on board.
Like, who could it be? Oh, I really like that part.
I was just like, who's pregnant?
Who's sucking up all that sweet oxygen?
That kind of would have been interesting too.
Sixth crew member.
I agree. I really like the twist, if you will. However, once I found out who it was, I also agree that I wish it had been established. If maybe it was established a little earlier via the videos that the captain of the Icarus II was playing, but I don't know. It was kind of like it started delving into it. It started off as as almost a pure sci-fi, and then it sort of steeped into psychological thriller, which is what I was expecting.
Yeah.
But then after that, it veered more and more, especially in the third act, towards sci-fi horror, which I appreciated. But at the same time, I was like, there would have been a way to get away. Like, this is mostly an issue with the script, I think. But they could have gotten away with the crew itself tearing, tearing itself apart.
Yeah.
Rather than the inclusion of the other captain, who is almost alive. How the hell he stayed alive, I don't know.
They don't really explain. They say that there's
enough
life support.
They have water. There's clearly enough oxygen for him, but
he's in the observation deck,
insane,
glaring at the sun.
Yeah.
He should be dead.
He wouldn't have had the know-how or the wherewithal to keep himself alive, because he'd clearly lost it, you know?
Yeah.
And with those burns, especially.
Yeah, his character... just the fact that it was in the movie in the way that it was kind of bugged me. I had no objection with there being the guy, being this other captain who's still alive and survived it all and sabotaging the crew. But to me, the movie seemed grounded up until that point in trying to be possible without really needing too much of an explanation. Within the world it established for itself, and then it introduces this guy who's kept himself alive through ways that clearly don't make sense, and he's like, he has super strength instead of being like super fragile because of being so burned and stuff.
I agree, and the thing is, yes, they could have also gotten away, if they needed the captain to be alive, they could have gotten away with him somehow surviving and maybe even pleading with them and saying, hey, thank God you're here and all this, but he's still, kind of crazy.
And work his way in mentally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that could have also, it would have been a more believable thing, because there was also this whole religious philosophical thing that he was hell bent on about talking with God and stuff like that. And it seemed, quite honestly, it seemed almost like an anime trope.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Yeah, it seemed interesting, but they also didn't dive into it very much.
Yeah, they
very
could have
much.
Dived into his psychology.
Sun God.
I think they just kind of used it as an excuse for his character to be off.
We'll see. You guys are doing a great job of touching on what is for sure the main controversy of the movie. Mm-hmm. Some people, the two very distinct camps of people who fall on either side of loving or hating the twist in the third act.
The twist itself was really suspenseful. I loved it.
Just... you know, the necessity or believability of it is definitely in contention among, I remember reading reviews at the time of people who came down in both camps. For me, for this time watching it, probably the fourth or fifth time for me, you know, it's, you said it's a little hard to, Michael, you just said how the psychology kind of comes out of nowhere and it's just kind of thrown in there to justify his insanity. But for me, it is subtly hinted at throughout the entirety of the movie with the captain of the Icarus II, Kaneda, and with
the doctor, right?
And the doctor, yes.
Because that would be the one thing that I would say.
Who are both kind of showing early signs of this obsession with the sun and its power, I guess.
Yeah.
So
I, especially considering like throughout the movie, I can't remember his name for the life of me, but the doctor's character, started having these skin problems because he would just be in the observation deck the whole time.
Yeah.
Which I found really intriguing. And I was wondering why they didn't delve into it up until, you know, well, they didn't really at all.
Don't.
Until
you
his,
just see his skin
until his death. Yeah. And I thought his death made perfect sense. But what I also think, you could make the argument that his character is essentially the same as the captain of the Icarus I's, but he found his humanity or kept his humanity or sustained it. To where he cared enough about his crew to sacrifice himself rather than killing them outright, you know? That's one way, I guess, to look at it. I will say that I was confused when the sense of who the main character was shifted to Kappa, because you start off with this nice sort of character-y scene in the beginning for the doctor, and he ends up being an more of a secondary character. Mm-hmm.
As a whole, I would argue that it is an ensemble piece,
right.
Maybe to its detriment a little bit, where it doesn't really choose a main character. In my eyes, I think he's not necessarily a main character, but the hero would be Chris Evans' character.
You just Mace. Like him because you have the same last name.
It's actually my dad's name, Chris Evans, too.
My dad's my hero. He was the best guy in this movie.
Wait, so that was your dad in the movie?
Yeah, it's my dad. It's my father.
He's like, I have to save Ryan.
Wow, he looks great for his age.
Gotta I like jump this, in this coolant.
I really like the scene where
no,
he made himself.
He's 30. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I like the scene where he made himself the Winter Soldier. That was great.
Again.
Michael,
same guy.
I just want to point out, Michael made the same joke while we were watching the movie. And
it's great for the podcast.
I completely shot it down.
I'd like to point out my
joke.
And
he still decided to bring it back.
Yeah.
So.
My joke makes more sense. He was freezing himself, like at the end of Captain America. And at the end of this movie, before he burns up, he's a frozen icicle.
Thank you, Steven.
He's going to come back for the Avengers.
3 points, Steven.
Yeah.
As opposed to a not frozen icicle?
Yeah, you know, a melted icicle.
Just what water?
Is that what they call them?
Yeah. Yeah, that's generally what it is when it's melted.
James, 1 point.
Oh, thank you.
For knowing what frozen...
That's what I get the point
what
for.
Melted ice
also,
also, show some of that knowledge, James.
It's all up in this noggin.
See, I actually wanted to give you all points for your discussion earlier, but then that kind of would defeat the purpose.
Yeah. I would like to note that the effect at the beginning where you think you're staring at, like the very, very beginning of the movie, where you think you're staring at the sun and then it ends up being
reflection.
The reflection of the sun. Mm-hmm. And then it turns around, the ship is heading toward the sun, starting an eclipse and then getting smaller and smaller and smaller. There's this whole eye motif, visually, an eye motif in the movie, which I found really interesting. Just as visual, you know, camera play or what have you. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure like exactly what it was supposed to mean, but it makes sense for the premise of the movie to be staring at the sun. And I would also like to say that
I think that is what it means. Just nothing more than that.
Yeah. I would also like to say that if you're going to go to the sun to save the sun, and I mentioned this before the movie,
bring sunscreen.
Yes, but don't name your project Icarus. That just sets you up for failure, like nobody's business.
Also,
name it Daedalus, his dad.
Also, bring your son.
I gotta save my son.
I have to save.
I mean, the son. I mean,
my father.
I'm confused.
My father. We haven't watched that one yet.
I know, but I can't wait.
Watch what?
You'll see.
Maybe connection. If Steven wins. I guarantee. If Steven wins, then
you'll see we'll it see this it. Cycle for sure. you were talking about the visuals. I want to say we kind of lucked out in the timing of watching this because we were supposed to watch this a long time ago, but we had technical difficulties. But we watched
personal.
My personal problems are technical. Sorry,
yeah. Michael fouled out, remember?
I technically had personal problems.
But we watched this the week after Cosmos premiered. I saw it. Ryan caught a bit of it. And there's...
Oh, man, I really need to watch that.
It did just a good job of like portraying the scale of the universe and how insignificant people are. So going into this movie, I was like, had that on the top of my mind. Like, this is the sun. We are like a speck, not even a speck compared to the sun, which was great for sequences where the dome, you know, just the mere sunlight at that proximity to the sun, if it's not in the shadow of the dome, will just disintegrate you. That's it. It'll just tear through metal like a laser beam.
The sense of scale is pulled off with a plum.
Yes.
I absolutely agree.
I love plums.
Well, too bad for them. They all got burnt up.
Damn it.
They all got pulled off. Overall, I think the computer G's were pretty decent in this movie.
I've never heard it said that way before. You know, the computer G's?
Some people like saying...
Animated gangsters.
Some people like saying CG's. You know, I say computer G's.
I like it. Can I say C-generated?
Yeah. I'm not going to stop you.
I like computer G's.
I might.
Okay.
I like computer G's because it almost sounds like you're saying computer cheese.
Want some computer
I don't like that either.
I don't like computer cheese.
You know what? I'm taking on the role of language bouncer.
I was going to say
I'm going to tell you what
I was
going to
say wordsmith,
say.
But then that would That's be overriding your authority, so I didn't.
No, I think James is the wordsmith, at least my personal wordsmith.
He crafts them.
He's done a
but
great
I tell
job.
You if they're on the list.
Well, he tells
oh,
me...
Oh, I see.
I jockey the velvet rope.
James tells me the words that I'm trying to...
Come on,
James. Ham sandwich.
There you go.
I was about to say ham sandwich.
No, you shut up.
I was.
Were you really?
Yes.
So,
see, this is why you're the bouncer.
So the computer G's were very good at delivering this superb sense of scale. But I think what really impressed me more is the closer, the personal cinematography. I think that's probably one of the movie's strongest points.
Yeah.
Is how it takes a lot of kind of risks. It experiments a lot with editing and cinematography. There's many sequences, such as when the captain of the Icarus One comes aboard, and you never really get a good shot of him. He seems to be cloaked in solar flares the entire time. A lot of odd camera angles to kind of hide him, so you never distortion, see more than his eyes.
Yeah. I love that because some people might not, but... if we're talking about horror, the moment you reveal the bad guy, the horror
the
object, that's when it stops being scary.
If you show like a full frame of him in a completely brightly lit room, then it's
not scary
anymore. It ruins
anymore.
The illusion.
Yeah. But to me, all I could think was he kind of looks like that like main vampire at the end of I Am Legend.
Yeah,
a little bit. Not the vampire wasn't as burned though.
See, I haven't really thought about I Am Legend since I saw it the one time and forgot about it. So,
I have. Every night since the 50 times I've watched it this week.
While you've been waiting for me to get the podcast running.
The whole reason we couldn't watch Sunshine is because I was hogging the DVD.
Was I the, watching I Am Legend? Was I the only one who thought about Freddy Krueger?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, okay.
No, that's a fair...
I mean, no, you weren't
I'm
the only one.
I did it.
Oh, okay. You were just dismissing my thought outright.
What were you thinking? Why were you thinking of a completely different and less good movie?
One thing...
It was all a dream.
One thing I want to point out with when they showed the captain of the Icarus One, the first thing he says is, are you an angel? And when he says that, I'm thinking, like, is he? Because I know he's in this bright room, but he's glowing... He shouldn't be alive, yet he is.
You thought there would be a supernatural
element? I thought there would be a supernatural element.
Did you just compliment him like he's a pregnant woman?
He's glowing.
Right, 2 points, Michael.
The only those were well earned. That was good. Because I haven't seen it, but every once in a while in this movie, I would think of Event Horizon, which is kind of the opposite of this movie. In this one, they're going to the sun, and Event Horizon, they're doing a black hole. That one's got like
the opposite
demons, I think. So I'm like, are there angels when you're close to the sun? Oh my gosh, maybe. Because they hint enough at like, oh, he was like a religious fanatic. And I'm like, maybe he saw something.
I'd argue the opposite of this movie is The Core.
Oh.
Yeah, that's when it came out. I just heard the premise of it and I was like, oh, so it's The Core but opposite. That's exactly what I thought.
Have you all seen The Core?
Mm. Yeah.
Nope.
Yes, I have.
It's movie.
It's not great. Not to cloud your judgment in case Michael ever picks it, but I would rather he didn't.
Right. I think
I love how stupid it is.
So the other kind of the big, experiment with the cinematography, which is definitely the most...
I'm sorry, are you saying cinematography?
It's computer cheese cinematography. What is it with you, man?
I'm really hungry, guys.
I'm roping you off, man.
We actually haven't fed him these last 2 weeks, months, so...
When you get the podcast, you get the food.
But we have to finish this, so I'd be surprised if he makes it through this.
I'll subtract 25 points from myself for not being able to speak properly.
And for your humility, I'll award you 25 points.
Thanks, Michael. The kind of the most striking part of the movie is when they board the original Icarus, and every time a light source, one of their flashlights is pointed at the lens, you get a frame or two of what you later find out is the Christmas card photo of the original crew. And...
Was it every time the light hit the lens?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize
directly
that.
Directly right down the lens.
That's actually really cool.
It is cool. But I remember the first time I saw it and definitely hearing your reactions of kind of, did that just happen?
Mm-hmm.
Which is certainly what it was going for, you know, is to make you question yourself and your observations.
I think I'm gay now. So it did a good job.
Yeah, well, and...
Different man every night from here on out.
I really actually liked that editing trick. I didn't realize that it was every time that the light hit the lens, which is yet another sort of
reason to rewatch it.
It's a reference to
vision and eyes. Yeah.
Exactly.
And light, yes.
And I like when movies kind of break up scenes that way. And sort of make you question what's going on. Because if you were just watching that scene without, sure, it would be suspenseful because they could make it suspenseful. But it's actively making the audience wonder what the meaning behind those frames are, which you can assume, but it keeps your mind sort of working.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the way it put me off. Like, I just saw it. I was like,
that's definitely the... counter argument is that it takes you out of it too much, which I can see, but I still think it was cool.
And I think it works.
An editing thing in a vacuum. I think it's a cool trick to let's cover up every time the light flashes directly on the camera to do that. It's a cool idea. I just don't like it in the context of the story.
I liked it because that actually may have been my favorite part of the movie was the delve into Icarus One. Because it's, you know, sort of shrouded and you don't know really what's going on. There's flaky human dust everywhere and it's gross. And they are totally okay with just breathing it all in.
How is there that much human dust, though?
I don't think it's all particularly human dust.
Question, do you guys think that human dust would be a great name for a band?
No.
Yes.
You got one for and one against.
What kind of band?
Ska.
Yes. Yes.
Can I change my answer?
Scott needs to come back.
Can I change my answer?
Yes.
Still not. Still not.
Okay. 90s thing.
It was like 2 years, maybe.
Yeah.
How do you know about Scott?
Scott was the best. Scott needs to come back. Everybody who's listening, Scott needs to come back. Make a band.
I want
Human Dust is taken.
I'm gonna make one called The Legend of Zelda: Skyward Sword.
That's actually pretty good. That's actually pretty good. I'll take it.
So there was definitely a great collection of actors in this movie.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, I liked hearing you guys surprise just seeing how many big names are in it. You know, just like, oh, that's Chris Evans.
Immediately, I was like,
is that Chris Evans?
Killian?
He doesn't look good with long hair. Names,
Chris Evans? You know?
But recognizable for sure.
Chris Evans?
I would say Chris
big.
Evans is. Maybe not at the time.
I think Killian Murphy was pretty big, you know,
yeah.
5 to 7 years ago. I think Rose Byrne was decently big. She's for a while.
Yeah.
I think Rose Byrne
was this. What other films was this one of the first Chris Evans breakthrough films?
He was in Not Another Teen Movie in like 2001.
I didn't see that one.
I don't know if it was like a breakout role for him. But I, you know, despite having some great acting talent, I think the characters were maybe a little too realistic, I would guess.
I like that about that.
I actually do like it as well, but you know, it's definitely not what you would typically think of in an ensemble drama.
You want where are you saying
everyone?
You want...
Everyone is kind of understated, and you know, they're. But it really does make sense. It's because they're scientists and mathematicians and astronauts.
But to me, it also served to not pull focus from the story at hand. It's which to me was very captivating and suspenseful that I didn't necessarily want it to focus on other things. I just wanted to know where this whole thing is going. Because I was very into just the mission aspect of it.
I will say that I disliked one character's, I guess, arc. The botanist, the...
Did she have an arc?
Not really. That's my problem.
Not an arc, but she was definitely...
Well, here's the thing. She seemed like she was going to be this voice of reason.
Plants,
initially.
Guys, plants! No, I feel like she was the craziest.
Really?
Of them,
yeah. I don't know when, like,
what movie did you watch?
Apparently not the same one.
In this crew full of, you know, for the most part, collected and understated people, she was the one who was, like, totally obsessed. And whenever her plants are burning, she's freaking the heck out.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I didn't pick up on that, but, like, when the oxygen farm or whatever is burning up and she's flipping out, I can understand, but at the same time I was like, she's going a little too much crazy. And then after that, it just kind of, her character just kind of like just does nothing really and dies.
She does die, that's true.
So I was just everybody dies. Yeah, I don't know. I was just I felt like her character was the weakest, next to maybe Trey, but he's also understandable. You know, like why he has those motivations. Mm-hmm. Chris Evans is violent, but he's also the mechanic. So I guess, you know, I don't know if that makes sense, but because apparently all mechanics are violent.
Yes, I like your reason. He's the mechanic, so I don't know if it makes sense. But you were totally saying it as though implying it totally.
Well, like,
makes
here's
sense.
The thing: he's not just a mechanic; he's also a scientist. He's like, I guess I maybe didn't buy it as much that he was a scientist because it's Chris Evans.
He is actually probably my favorite character in the movie.
I like agree. The way his character turned out was great.
I think him and the Captain Kaneda are two of my favorites.
I thought Kaneda was awesome. Mm-hmm. In fact, I wish he didn't die then, because I like would have liked to see how he handled with situations after the fact.
Yeah.
I do want to talk a little bit about the soundtrack real quick here, too, because I think
it's good.
Pretty fantastic.
It's pretty great.
It's real good.
It's here, let me look it up.
That's just good old-fashioned. While Ryan is looking that up, I do want to play the part of the soundtrack for this movie.
It's her party, and she'll do what she wants. She'll welcome Leslie Gore.
What are you doing?
Sorry, this intro is going a little bit longer than I expected. They cut this for the movie.
You know, he did a real good job of building anticipation, only to just completely destroy it by making us wait about a minute to get there.
James, I'm going to give you a couple points for your being on the ball there.
And having that
getting ready to talk
up.
About those.
How many points?
Two.
All right. That was just a little snippet.
And while Ryan's still getting his thing together, I just wanted to play I just want to play a little ditty. A little thing that I thought of when I accidentally totally stepped on your DVD of Sunshine.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty upset when that happened.
Yeah, that's part of our personal issues. But I felt like I was walking on sunshine.
High five.
All right, Michael, you can have a couple points, too.
I'm desperately trying to think of a Sunshine song that's left now.
So the soundtrack for Sunshine was a mix of original composition by John Murphy and contributions from the band Underworld, both of which
not the
do
movies.
Excellent jobs. But I pointed out during the movie, John Murphy's Adagio in D minor is kind of probably the most recognizable, one of the most recognizable movie tracks.
I'd recognized it, I think, probably from the trailer. Did they use it in the trailer?
It's been in countless movie trailers.
Yeah.
Like, all kinds of stuff. Here, I got a list here. Adjustment Bureau, X-Men Origins Wolverine, the new X-Men movie, whatever that's called.
First Class?
Days of Future Past.
The one that hasn't.
God, I hate that title.
Multiple episodes of Walking Dead.
I love that movie.
Kick-Ass. Star Trek Into Darkness trailer. All kinds of stuff. And it's absolutely a beautiful piece. And the scene itself where they're out on the solar panels, Kaneda's death scene, when that song starts swelling, it's definitely another huge moment of chills for me. It's... I think it's a fantastic piece, and it complements and really defines that movie for me. Whenever
just
I
just play it,
I don't have it pulled up.
Damn it!
-25 points.
Yeah, what?
That was nice.
And then he died.
So I'm guessing you guys recognize it from one of those things that I listed. Did you?
Yeah.
What do you think of the music in general?
I liked it, especially the not just that track, but I felt that the sort of electronically influenced score was. I feel like it catered to the movie pretty well. I mean, you know, this is a sci-fi, and the use of a lot of electronic sounds, I think it didn't take me out at any point. You know, it just kind of was like this is the movie. You know, this is the package. You know, I thought it would work great, and yeah, that's about it.
One thing I think about a great score is that you almost don't notice it because it just blends so well into what's going on, and I feel. That perfectly describes this soundtrack, because like it took quite a while into the score, like at certain moments in the movie, for me to be like, oh, there's music playing, because it just everything else felt so dramatic and it pulled me into the story. It took forever for me to be taken out of it for even a split second to notice the fact that there's music. Mm-hmm. So I think that speaks to the strength of the score. Okay.
Any final thoughts before we rate this thing?
Yeah, I would like to say that the suits, the space suits, were very interesting. they were believable as spacesuits, but I was also wondering if they were a reference to anything, because when I saw them, I thought visually of old school sci-fi for some reason. You know, they just seem like a prop that would be in a 50s or 60s sci-fi.
Yeah.
And I really, if that is supposed to be a reference or if that is supposed to be like sort of paying tribute, I appreciate it a lot. If not, I appreciate the fact that I could believe them as a piece of equipment that would be used in a mission that's like flying that close to the sun.
Yeah.
To me, they looked like kind of old diving suits. You know?
Yeah. Like you would fight them Bioshock Space. System Shock. Huh.
There you go. Yeah.
Gamers out there.
Bless you.
Thank you. Before we go on real quick, we have an email.
Oh, fun.
In the form of a text message.
Okay. From our buddy Gabe.
Hey, it's Gabe. He says, "Dear iDorts, please watch The Raid Redemption because it's the biggest dick movie ever made except The Raid 2.
Dude, The Raid Redemption is awesome.
If you don't watch it, I will fight you to death. Love, Gabe. Sunshine is not as good of a choice as The Raid for a movie to watch. In fact, it's just plain bad."
Well, thank you, Gabe.
Thanks, Gabe.
You can contact us on Michael's Facebook page or text Michael. His number is...
just hit 10 numbers. You're redacted. Probably going to be right. But put a one before them.
We have another email at our actual email address, fuarock@gmail.com.
Cheap plug.
This is from info@humanpopulationacademy.org.
Hold on. Academy is not on the list. You cannot say that word.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Institution?
Yeah. Better. That's why you're the wordsmith.
Humanpopulationacademy.org, educating people about the laws of human nature, the catalog of human population, catalog of human souls, and its source, Shanghai Jing.
Sounds legit.
We can become students. They have a special one-time offer.
How much?
$3,000. Oh, wait, reasonable. No, $1,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Guys, want to go foursies?
Books on female, books in Russian.
Books on one female.
I'm just books on... Happy birthday to all born in February.
Obvi.
To no one else. Human with a dragon head. Yeah, all that good stuff. So thank you, Human Population Academy.
Did he watch the same movie we did?
Yeah, obviously.
Oh. I didn't see those things.
You guys ready to rate this thing?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
My body is ready.
Should I go first?
Yeah, absolutely.
I
guess I should. Go for it.
It was definitely a pleasure refreshing myself on this one. I would have loved to have watched it for the first time again, like you guys just did. And I definitely am remembering back to that first time that I saw it actually in the theater. It was a pretty remarkable experience for me. I'm going to give it a-.
I'll go next. I enjoyed it thoroughly. But my gripes with one or two of the characters and the inclusion of the sort of crazed captain that it shifted the movie in a way that I was aware of, you know, like it took me a second to be like, oh, this is what this movie is about now. Up until that point, I really did enjoy it. And even afterwards, but I'm going to have to give this movie a B.
A or B?
B.
Okay.
Bees.
Bees.
Not at the bees.
I kind of agree with a lot of James's sentiments, and specifically the fact that I even had to say to myself, "Oh, this is what this movie is about now." I didn't like having to feel that. I didn't feel that all the pieces weren't as cohesive as I would have liked them to be. It was a little bit more abstract, and that's not really what appeals to me. But on the whole, I did enjoy it, so I'm going to give it a B-.
I really enjoyed this movie. It had elements that we'd seen before.
Steven.
Hold up. Elements we'd seen before, but it combined them in a pretty unique way. Did an interesting thing in blending genres, and like you guys have said, they could have handled the whole changing directions thing with a twist about the captain from Icarus One, But overall, I really enjoyed it, and it really is a good science fiction. I think, Ryan, you said you wish there was more science fiction like this, because it seems kind of harkens back to those original sci-fi movies from 30, 40 years ago.
I don't know if I did, but...
Someone did.
That was me.
Okay.
James, you'll now be known as Ryan.
You don't even know your friends.
Friends?
Okay, you don't even know the people you're around.
I'm going to give this movie an A-.
And with that, our aggregate review comes out to be...
No. We can only give one B.
Two Bs. Double Bs.
My favorite cup size.
Well, while Michael is...
It's done.
Oh, okay.
So we're just going to listen to this now for no reason.
Start it from the beginning again, please.
No.
There you go, Steven. You could have used this one. But we can't listen to any more of that, okay. Or we're gonna get majorly sued.
Now, I gave the lowest rating, and I would just like to throw this out there. I did not look directly into the movie at any point. B+ is our average.
All right,
that's good. Almost like two Bs.
It's not.
There you go, Sunshine. Good work.
Way to go,
Danny.
Good job, Danny.
Daniel, up Daniel boy. Boyle. I'm sure he's never been called that before.
Danny boy.
Ooh. Danny boy. Oh, Danny.
We're doing a challenge.
What?
Nothing. Wait, I didn't. No, I was just instigating.
The challenge to have sex. Everybody
deal. We shook on it. It's happening.
We're doing it.
Oh, is that not sex that you just...
We're sexing right now.
The handshake?
How do you guys like this sex that's happening? I told you, I'm gay now.
I prefer the term making love, but yes, that's what...
The real challenge, like I said, I really enjoyed the music, the soundtrack for this movie. And, you know, it really kind of makes me wonder... what if they had gone all the way and made Sunshine the musical? So I just want to know what you guys would think that would look like.
Well, I wouldn't look directly at it.
So, well,
but everybody maybe, would have to wear like sunglasses.
Maybe you can just show me what it looks like by maybe acting out a couple of scenes for me here.
As one team, or individually?
All together, yes.
Okay.
Because I know my character has a solo moment.
That's fine. Yeah. I think you should all have solo moments, actually.
Okay.
for extra points.
This sounded like my porn career.
Okay.
Whenever you guys are ready.
I will be encapsulating the power of darkness.
I will be Dayman.
Okay. We got Dark Day. Michael, are you the scientist that is
And I'll be Charlie Day.
You'll be Charlie Day. Okay, so we've got Nightman, Dark Dayman, and Charlie Day.
I don't know.
I have a feeling I know where this is going. It's always sunshine.
Can you take a five?
It's always
okay, sunshine. Can you take
guys,
a five,
guys,
please?
Guys, it's always sunshine in Philadelphia.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
All right.
I think we have named our musical.
All right. So we start our scene and...
Making fun of Sweet D.
We make fun of Sweet D, right?
And right. Because she looks like a bird.
I come in and like, and I'm just like, "Hey, D, you mind shutting the hell up for a little bit? We're trying to focus here, all right?"
Let me.
Hey, listen, we are trying to make this painting, this mural of the sun, and you are just ruining everything for us.
Yeah, I agree with what Dennis is saying over there. D, you look like a bird. It looks ridiculous.
Come on, D. Either shut the hell up or get the hell out
why
of here.
Why don't you sing
guys,
for us?
Guys, what are you doing?
Why don't you sing for us?
Yes. Why don't you sing for us? Come on.
Why don't you sing for us?
Sing about the sun.
My eyes. My eyes, they're burning.
Well, you see, that's because, I'm sorry, Charlie. So yeah. You guys are standing right next to each other. I'm sorry, I've blinded myself by looking into the sun. I can't understand what's going on. D, you need to shut up. Charlie, just keep doing whatever you're doing. Go fix the roof.
The roof. The roof is on fire.
Honestly, don't know how much more damage we can do.
I need some kind of story here, guys. Follow the plot of Sunshine. All right,
so Charlie's going up to fix the roof. D and I, I'm working on this mural of the sun.
Holy crap, guys. I think D's made of, like... I think she's just been sitting in the sun for like 7 years or something, and I think she...
Yeah, seriously, Dee, are you tanning or something? Because you're going to get awful. Skin cancer. You look like you belong on the cast of Jersey Shore.
Thanks, Dee!
Well, I'm glad she took my advice.
Now, it's Darkness, what's on your mind? Why don't you let us know to a little tune?
I like that you're calling me by my new nickname, Darkness. Thank you very much, Charlie.
Went in blackface for Lethal Weapon 6.
All right. Well, you see, that's exactly where we're going with this, because it is time for me to perform. We're trying to get more people into the bar. We're trying to get more people into the bar. So I'm gonna go outside. I'm gonna sing a little ditty. And people are gonna come in and they're gonna drink a lot of our beer. All right, Charlie, why don't you accompany me on beatbox? What, Charlie? We're not outside yet.
I'm sorry.
All right. All right. Now you ready for this? Okay. Dark man, day man, fighting for the battle of light. Dark man, day man, gonna fight. Day man, fighting the darkness, fighting the power.
Day man,
having lots of fun and getting friendly now.
Day man, fighter of the night man.
I don't think anybody's coming into our bar. I think we scared everybody away.
Yeah, but we... threw Manhattan into the sun and it blew up and it's a little
Charlie,
brighter.
Charlie, I'm beginning a sense. And God damn it, you weren't helping me out with those beatboxes. I was really hoping that you would support me. Okay,
it looks a little nicer out today. I think they succeeded in their mission.
What the hell are you talking about?
I don't know, but I don't think the movie was about us. But like, for some reason, the musical is.
Charlie,
and all this is happening up there, but it's just brighter now.
Charlie,
it's
you do realize that the roof is still burning the entire bar to the
That's
ground.
A problem.
Yes, it is.
And scene.
The roof is on fire.
I'd like to point out how quickly I realized I need to watch more It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
At least you got the day, man.
I that was my only contribution.
Let me
one and only.
Let me get the points calculated here real quickly.
Take your time. In the meantime, I'm going to get his suit again.
Oh, I got one. I got one for you. I got some real tunes.
All right, guys, I'm ready.
This is Sunlight by Alpha Flight.
Thank you for clarifying.
I like it.
You know it. It was in Shenanigans.
Okay. I'm going to give myself minus 13 because I didn't participate at all.
Humble.
That was it's pretty bad of me.
Are you sure you're not confusing yourself with minus 14? With stupid?
Yeah, you might be thinking of me here.
Minus 14, actually. And I gave James, let's see, 6 points because I thought his Dennis impression was fantastic.
Thank you.
And you did a good job of moving the story along, you know,
kind of, such
as it was. I gave Michael 8 points because he sort of did what I asked and none of you guys did. I wanted you guys to actually do the plot of Sunshine. That didn't really happen. So,
Well.
Steven, you got 0 points.
As expected. I'm surprised I didn't lose any.
I didn't even bow out of that. I was like,
you
no.
sang the word day man at one point, I think, that I probably kept you from losing points.
Yeah.
So final score in last place, Steven with 5 points. Woo! In third is me with 6 points. in second place is James with 7 points, and in first place is Michael with 10.
Woo! Michael wins.
So I have a real dilemma. I have no idea what to pick.
Okay.
You should pick.
So I'm putting the show on hiatus. I will be back in about 2 months, and I will have a pick for us.
I have a suggestion if you need one.
Yeah, what is it?
I haven't seen Ghostbusters.
So my pick for next week.
Such suspense.
Is... Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I did not see that coming. Honestly, that was crazy.
One question though. Who are you gonna call?
I don't know. I just kind of text.
Probably no one, because you know,
I forgot
no one,
the podcast wouldn't end right after that, and that I'd have to keep going because I was ready to just fade out into the distance with my
who
neck
are you gonna
bobble.
Call.
Yeah.
Blah, right. Blah, blah, blah.
Next week is Ghostbusters. James has not seen it. Steven, have you seen it? Yes. Michael, have you seen it?
No. Yeah, I have.
Yes. Yeah, good. Following the rules. I've seen it. So, James.
Yeah, I've been way out of the loop. And been. I have way been made fun of.
Way under the rock. Yeah.
Way under the rock. I have been made fun of for years because I haven't seen this movie.
We will probably make fun of you soon.
Oh, that's fine. But at least it'll be over before after that, right? It's like ripping off a Band-Aid.
Well,
slowly.
We'll probably make fun of you for other reasons as well.
Oh, I didn't finish my pick. Two.
No.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Oh, man. One of them died, right?
Yes.
In honor, in memoriam.
We'll be watching Ghostbusters 2.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah. I like that.
But the first one.
If you want to talk to us about
anything.
Dead people, real or fictional... write us in fuarock@gmail.com.
And abstain from writing about Hitler,
please.
We've talked enough about him
on this
program.
Yeah, we've pretty much gotten that covered. We keep getting dozens of emails about
Hitler. We hit our Hitler quota.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to post in the official FUAR discussion thread, and it's just all about Hitler now. We kind of had to, you know, leave that community to itself, kind of dissociate ourselves from it.
And I hate to say it, but the whole white supremacist movement is why I feel so comfortable. Like, just my hate for them is why I'm so comfortable saying Plane Drifter all the time.
Come on, Michael.
I'm sorry. I know.
I think we should quit while we're ahead.
I'm better than
see
that.
See what you guys have done to Michael? You see what he's feels comfortable saying now?
You Nazi plane
drifters.
This is
on you.
Whoa. 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 Watch it, man.
Does it really make it worse if I add Nazi in front?
A little.
Okay.
This is what society has done to him. Or tweet us at FUA Rock Podcast. Steven, do you have an update for us on...
Yeah, I gotta pee.
I have to poop.
YouTube channel.
Shooting a couple videos this weekend. We had a lot of fun with the literal pickup lines. James was in one.
I was.
It was, I believe, our most popular one.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Got
just
got
as he is on this podcast.
Yes.
Our most popular one.
Oh, well, isn't that James's podcast? I mean, there's other guys on there too.
It's not really.
It's pretty much just him
like
talking
guests?
To himself.
Are they,
I think.
Are they guests?
He's so funny. He does different voices, and he's like,
"Such a talented guy."
After, oh, shut up, Michael!
Be the best podcast ever.
So yeah, please join in on the discussion for Ghostbusters next week, hopefully. until then, let's go around the table for one last roll call.
I'm Jumes McDoodles.
I'm Steven Zarita.
Hold on.
Sorry, Steven? Steven what?
Huh?
What's your name? Steuben Suburban, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Now, this is weird timing, but one of our old sponsors has
Michael,
an announcement for
we're
us.
We're going around the table for one last roll call here.
And that's Michael.
That's Michael.
And I'm
Ellis.
Michael.
And I'm Ryan. Thank you once again for joining us for another episode of
From Under a Rock.